Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim Adaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in the final podcast of the second chapter of Masechet Bava Batra, beginning on Daf Chaf Vav Amud Bet, near the top of the Amud, continuing to analyze the Mishnah Yud Bet, which talked about what happens when roots come onto another's property. And as we pointed out several times in the previous podcast, it's unclear who gets to keep the wood. In other words, shalom means it goes back to the tree owner, or shalom means it goes back to the fellow who's cutting it, who was the landowner where the roots have found themselves. Vamine Yaakov Hadaiva, Yaakov from Hadayav, Merav Chista, he asked him, Etzim Shalmi. So Marle, he answered him from the Mishnah in Me'ilah. Tinitua, Shoshe Ilan Shal Hadyota Bain Shal Hakdesh. Let's say you have a tree which is not Hekdesh, but it's in Hekdesh land. Then lona ninvelo mu'alin. You're not allowed to get hana'a l'chatchila, but if you do get hana'a, it's not called mi'ilah. So clearly, the prohibition against getting hana'a is d'rabanan, which means that this is not considered kodesh. So iyamart bishlam batu ilan azlinan, if we say that the roots belong to the tree, shumachila mu'alin, that's why there's no mi'ilah. But if you think that the wood belongs to the land that it's on, it's in Hekdesh land. So it must be that you follow the tree, which means this wood really goes back to the tree owner. Now, the seifa here, if you look at the Mishnah, it's not really a seifa. It's shalhedyo, rabbin shalhektesh, or shalhektesh, rabbin shalhedyo. It's all in one statement. Shalhektesh, rabbin shalhedyo, lonan v'lomolin. The same halacha applies. And if you think that the roots belong to the tree, and this is a tree that's hektesh, it's growing in chulin land, amaylo mo'alin and shibim mi'ilah. So midi area, what's the deal here? What we're talking here is about the stuff that grew after your makdishit. The kasavra and our tana holds ain't mi'ilah b'gidulin. That something that's hektesh that then grows further, there's no mi'ilah. So therefore, either way, l'chatchila ain mo'alin, but b'diavad ain mi'ilah, and ain lo nenin, but b'diavad ain mo'alin, and therefore this doesn't prove anything about whether roots belong to the tree or to the land. Ravina amar lo kasha. Ravina had another solution to this problem. Kan mitoch sheish esrema, kan le'achar sheish esrema. If it's outside of 16 amot, and we saw this at the end of the previous podcast, if it's outside of 16 amot where the tree is growing, then it really doesn't belong to the tree, and then you are not moel because it really isn't connected to the tree midoraita. Okay, so we didn't really solve the problem. Amar ula imana samuch lemetzah b'toch sheisrei amah. If you have a tree that's within 16 amot, again this issue of 16 amot and the tree is nurturing, so within 16 amot of another fellow's property, gazlanhu, then that means that on a technical level, the guy whose tree it is a gazlan because he is nurturing from somebody else's land. Now, that's critical for the following halacha. There is a mitzvah, I put this in the note on top of the page. There is a mitzvah in the Torah, bikurim, havaat bikurim. You have to bring bikurim from your land. Not only bring bikurim, but ideally you do a reading of bikurim. And in the reading of bikurim, you say, I have brought this fruit from the land that you promised to give us. So in the first parak of bikurim, you find that there are whole classes of people who cannot bring bikurim because they really don't, it's not really their fruit. And there's whole classes of people who bring bikurim, but who cannot make the declaration because it's not really their land. That's the very short version of it. Ula says that if your tree is within 16 amot of the boundary of the property, you can't bring bikurim from that tree because you're really nurturing from somebody else's land, and it's not all from your land, and you're considered a gazlan. All right, and that's one of the people who can't bring bikurim. Now, Minale Lulaha, where did Ula get this idea from? Anything with 16 amot, you're considered a gazlan, you're considered to really be nurturing off somebody else's land. If it's from the Mishnah. The famous halacha al Moshe Sinai about Eser Netiot. Remember, when it comes to Shemitah, already 30 days before the beginning of Shemitah, you're not allowed to be plowing the land. But if you have an area where there are lots of trees, young trees that are growing, you're allowed to plant, plow around them and work the land to keep the trees alive. And what's the shear? If you have 10 saplings within a Beit Sa'ah, Beit Sa'ah is 2,500 square amot. So if 10 trees spread throughout a Beit Sa'ah, Choshin ko Beit Sa'ah mishvilan ad Rosh Hashanah. In other words, you're allowed to work the land around them all the way to Rosh Hashanah. Now, that means that these trees have a certain territory that they're sort of claiming, which you can work the land because of them. Kam havalu, how much area is there? Trei alfim chamesh mea garmidi. Garmidi is a square amma. There's 2,500 square amot, chochad v'chad. Right, that's the area. Kam amatilei, so how much chochad v'chad kam amatilei? How much is for each one? Matan v'chamishin. That means 250 square amot for each one. Now, halo havidula, but that's not anything close to ulashir, because ulashir is 16 amot. Now figure right now that we're working with a square, it's 16 amot radius. So figure a square around each tree of 16 amot in, 16 amot going each direction is 32 amot square. 32 amot squared is 1,024 amot. Way more than the 250 amot that this thing is suggesting. And so that means Ula is exempting you from bringing Bikurim if your reach is much, much further than what this grants. So that can't be the source. It must be from this Mishnah. If three different people own three trees, meaning one tree of each of these guys that are in a field, nonetheless, we combine them and consider them one field. An entire Beit Sa'ah is, again, until Rosh Hashanah, can be plowed because of these trees. Now, kamahavalu, now you've got three trees in 2,500 amot. You have 2,500. How much does each one get? So 2,500 divided by 3 is 833 bar. Now we've got something different. Ula, what Ula is saying is that if you are within 16 amot of another fellow's property, you're considered a gazlan, meaning the reach of a tree is 16 amot, and here we're suggesting that it's bigger than that. Because Ula's shear is still bigger, because this shear is 800-something, and Ula's shear is going to be 1,000-something. Officially to Ula, which means Ula is granting an exemption to a tree that's further away than what this says. Right? So the answer is Lodak, that Ula was not being exact. But Amor Damina Lodak, Lachumra, we're always inexact, Lachumra. And that's what Ula is doing here, Lakula Lodak, Memory. We don't say you're inexact, Lakula. And what Ula is saying is, if you're roughly in the area, meaning even if you're a little further away and your tree isn't really nurturing from the neighbor's property, you still don't have to bring Bikurim. And that's an exemption. So the answer is Misavad Pribua coming in. Ula's picture was not a square. Bigula coming in. Ula's picture was a circle with a radius of 16 emanating from the tree in every direction. So Mahti Kamarimu Bayoter Ala Igul, if you have a square that has a radius going out and then you square that, how much bigger is that than if you were to do a circle? So Revia, a quarter. Which means now Ula Shear is three quarters of what we thought, which is 768. Pashalu Zion Mea Rashiti Nutmanya. 768 is three quarters of 1024. So now this circle is a circle of 768 total area. Akati Pashli Palgadamta. But if that's the case, Rashi says not exactly Palgadamta, but if that's the case, Ula really should have said, if it's within 16 and a half, or maybe 16 and two-thirds amot of the other guy's property, not 16. The answer is, Hainu de lo dak, Ula chumra lo dak. Now we see that Ula was being a little inexact, and just calling it 16 instead of 16 and a half, and it's lachumra. Because Ula is saying, if it's a little after 16, you have to bring Bikurim, even though technically you don't. So the chumra is that if the tree is 16.1 outside, according to Ula's rule, you have to bring it, even though technically you wouldn't have to. And that's the Chumra. Okay, now, Toshma, let's test this. If somebody buys a tree along with land, another guy's got land, and you buy a tree with the land around it, you bring Bikurim from that tree, and you can do the Kriya. You can say, this is my land. So, my love, Kolshu, doesn't it mean just any amount of land, as long as there's some land around it, which means that Ula's entire halacha is shot down because you're nurturing from the other guy's land? The answer is, it means if you bought an Elan and the proper amount of land, which would be 16 amot in every direction. So Toshma, Kanashta Ilana Patosha Havero, another Mishnah Bikurim, if you bought two trees in another guy's property, no land, two trees, Mevive no Kore. You bring Bikurim from those trees, they're yours, but you do not do any the declaration. But according to Ula, you shouldn't read it all. Hashlosha Mevive Kore. And of course the implication is, and the Sugya later in Bab Batra deals with this, if you bought three trees in somebody's land, you indeed read. By the way, our mayor says even with two you do that, but you bring and you read. So, my love, calls you, aren't we talking about where you got the trees and just this tiny smidgen of land with it? Lo, hachanami tenzayin ama. No, it means you bought the trees and tenzayin ama. And so, therefore, with these three trees came tenzayin ama, and all the trees are nurturing from your own land, or at least one of them is, then you bring Bikurim and do the reading. Okay? We still haven't. We've challenged Ula, and we have defended him by each case saying the reference is to tenzayin ama. Toshma, Rabbi Kiva, Marakak, Koshu, is a Mishnah Peah. Karka of any size, chayva peya uva bikurim, v'notim uva kodim alav pruzbul, v'nima nechasim shen machrayut. Karka, which is needed in order to write a pruzbul, and can be used as a vehicle for what we call a kinyan agav, where you can buy a metaltalin agav karka. Rabbi Kiva's psak is that that can be done with karka of any size. Karka of any size, chayva peya, that's why it's in peya, and bikurim. So, achmaskina bechiti, you know what we're talking about here? We're talking about wheat. Wheat, there's no more issue of nurturing. And indeed, if you buy the smallest piece of land, and has wheat on it, and you bring the wheat, that wheat can be brought from Bikurim, and that doesn't address Ula's issue at all. Dekanami, we can prove to you that that's the case. Dektani kolshu, shmamina. Because the Mishnah says, a land which is kolshu, which therefore is dealing with the size of land, and is not, otherwise he would have just said a tree. Okay, Toshma. You know, we have to remember, of course, that Chitin and Sorin are two of the seven species that you bring Bikurim from them. Toshma, Ilan Miktzato Be'aretz Miktzato B'Chutz La'aretz. Let's say you have a tree that's right on the border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Tevel v'chulin muravin zebazeh. Divrei Rebbe says that the fruit of the tree is a mixture of tevel and chulin, and that will make the accounting of how you bring Trumot HaMasorot from it. That which grew on the side of Yisrael is chayiv. It's not mixed up together. And that which grew on the side which is chutz la'aretz is patur. So the stuff you harvest from that side is totally patur. Now, this is all an issue of breira. And that is, can I retroactively assign where this thing was associated with? Alright, so Rabbi Gamliel says I can. And therefore, that which is on the Eretz Yisrael side is chayiv. And Rabbi says, I can't, therefore it's all a big mixture. But let's say the tree was all on Chutz La'aretz side, even though it reached into Eretz Yisrael, divrei kol patur, which proves, again, against Ula, that where a tree nurtures from is irrelevant to its identity. It's only where it's standing, where the fruit is. So we're talking about a case where there's hard rock underneath that divides, and so if it's on Chutz La'aretz side, none of it is coming over and nurturing. So Yachi, my time with the Rebbe. So why would Rebbe then say that you have Tevel B'chulin mixed together if there's hard rock there? The answer is the Hadri Arvi, because they get mixed up above. With my Kamepagi, what's the machloket? Marsavar Aviram Valbel. Rebbe holds that up in the air, the nurturing gets mixed together. Marsavar Hailachudekai, Hailachudekai. Rashim Gamliel says whatever's happening underground defines it all the way up. Okay, so it's a botanical question. Now we're turning around saying, Ula's halacha, that till now we challenged and said to claim that something reaches 16 amot is too much. Now we're saying it's not enough. Why? Our Mishnah that we saw earlier said you have to keep a tree away from a boar by 25 amot, which means that roots go more than 16 amot. So Amar Baya Mezal Tuva Azli says roots really go further. But they only weaken up until 16 amot, tfeilo machashi, not further, which means not only they hurt the ground, because they have to hurt the ground further, otherwise they have no reason to be that distance from the boar, but it means that they themselves get nurturing for 16 amot, and then, therefore that means that they are going to be eating up from the other fellow's field, because they're going to be nurturing. That's 16 amot. Right? And that's why Ula's halacha, because the concern is where you're getting your nurturing from. Kiata Rav Dimi Amar. Now Rav Dimi came and gave a report of Rav Yochanan said in Eretz Yisrael. This is Ula's halacha. Ula, of course, was a tradent, came from Eretz Yisrael and came in Bavel. Now when Rav Dimi came, Rav Shlokesh from Rav Yochanan, he reported that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yerushalkish had asked Rabbi Yochanan, Ilana Samach Lemetzah Betelch Shesra Mamahu, that he asked the same question. Amar Le Gazlanu Ven Ravin and Menu Bikurim. He reported exactly as Ula said. But Kiata Ravin, when Ravin came later to Pumbadita, he quoted Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Ilana Samach Lemetzah, Echad Ilana Noteh, whether the tree is right next to the guy's boundary or it's even leaning over the boundary. Meviva Kore, you do bring and you do read, rejecting Ula's reading. That's one of the conditions. Look at the end of the seventh parak of Bava Kamma. We had that all those conditions and rules that Yoshua made when giving the land, that's one of them. That you have to forgive the other fellow's encroachment on your property, and it's considered his, and therefore you can bring Bikurim. Okay, the 13th Mishnah, Ilan Shehuno Teliste Chavero, we just mentioned, if a tree is leaning over another fellow's property, Kotseitz, Malo Marde Al Gabe Machersha, the other fellow can cut on the tree to the height of a cattle prod so that he can plow. Uvacharuv shikmav, it's a very big tree, kenegan hamishkolet. Then he can cut the entire height all the way along the line of the boundary of the trees. Beit hashlachin, if you have an irrigated field, kol ilan kenegan hamishkolet, you can cut to that height with any sort of tree. Avshalom kol ilan sra kenegan hamishkolet. And Avshalom said, all deciduous trees. Now the question is, what was he referring to? Bailu, Avshalom, a reshakai or a seifakai? Was he referring to the resha, meaning not only charuva shikma, but any deciduous trees? Or was he talking about seifa, the seifa, which said all trees can be cut? And Avashal said, no, only deciduous. So Toshma and Tani Beit HaShlachin, Avashal Omer, Kol Eilan Kedegan Mishkolet, Mesha Hatzel, Rala Beit HaShlachin. He said, since the shade is bad for an irrigated field, needs sunlight, therefore you can cut all the way across. Shvaminah Aresha Kai. So clearly he's expanding what the Tana said, not just charuva shikma, but all deciduous trees. Shvaminah. But Amarashi, what Nitin Namideka, if you look at the Mishnah, you could see it there too. Diktani called Ilan Srak. He said, Kol Ilan Srak. Iyamar Pishtam Aresha Kai. If he's responding to charuva and shikma, and he's saying not just those, but also Kol Ilan Srak, Hanitana Kol Ilan. Leimarta Seifab Kai, but if he's referring to the Tana who said all trees, Ilan Srak and Vile should have just said only deciduous trees. I must be referring to the Resha and saying that not only Chavushikma, but also all deciduous trees. All right, the last Mishnah, Ilan Shinotel Reshut Rabim. If you have a tree now, it's leaning into Reshut Rabim. Kotseitz Kadeshe Gamal Ofer V'Rochvo. The Rabim can cut it so that, to the height, so that a camel driver and its rider, a camel and its rider can go by. Yonomer Gamal Ta'un Pishtano Chavit Zimorot. A camel with a load on its back of flax or of vines. Shimon Omer Kol Eilan Kenegan Mishkolet Mnei Atuma. He said, no, you cut it all across so that there is no possibility of tuma. We'll see what kind of tuma it is. I will analyze each opinion. Man Tana Mizakin Batar Umdan and Dahashtaslin. Who's the Tana who says that when there's some potential damage in Reshut HaRabim, we only limit it for present concerns, not for future concerns, like we see here? You cut it just so people can walk by with their animals. And the answer is, it's one party to a machloket. Rebbe Eliezer, that's the party. You're not allowed to make like a bunker underneath Reshut HaRabim. You're not allowed to dig trenches underneath, because the concern is at one point a lot of people will be in that spot and it'll collapse. Rebbelezer says if a wagon can go over it carrying rocks, then you can make it. Because all we're concerned about is the potential damage right now, but not about what it might later lead to of weakening the ground. So the same thing here. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, and he says even the Rabbanan of that one who says you can't dig at all would agree here. Why? Hatam zimnin demifchit la'avadate. In that case, sometimes the ground underneath will weaken, nobody will know, and then it'll collapse. Haha, kama kakaitzle. Here you see it. You're cutting and cutting, and then if you need a later cut, you cut again. It's all visible. So even Rabbanan would agree. Now, Rabbi Huda Omer, Gamal Ta'un Pishtano Chavidei Zmorot. Rabbi Huda had a different shear, which is a laden camel. Ibailu Shear Rabbi Huda Nafish, Adubah Shear Rabbanan Nafish. Which one is higher, is bigger? So, Pshita the Shear to Rabbanan Nafish. It's clear that the Rabbanan shear is higher. Sakatai Shear to Rabbi Huda Nafish. If you think that Rabbi Huda's shear is higher, then Rabbanan Bashir Rabbi Huda Echiavdi. What would the Rabbanan say to do in a situation where you're carrying the camel and its load? So Elamai Mishur Darbanan Afish, but you have the same problem backwards. Rabbi Yehuda Mishur Darbanan Mayavid. The answer is Efshad Gachim Chalifa Tutei, that the rider can lean down, the load can't necessarily lean down. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Ilan Kenegan Mishkol Nei Hatuma Tanim Nei Ohel Hatuma. What he means by Tuma is Ohel Hatuma, that you don't want to be going and walking and there's a mate there and you're underneath the tree and now suddenly you're Tame. So Pshita, that's obvious. And Nei Tuma Tanan, obviously knew it was Ohel. So maybe I thought the tumah was that a raven will be hanging out in the tree, like we saw the ravens in Rav Yosef's tree. Raven will be hanging out in the tree and throw some sort of tumah down. Then all you need is some sort of scarecrow to keep them away. You don't need to cut the tree. Kamash malan, the concern is ohel, and therefore you need to cut the tree. Hadron alach lo yachpor. Shkoach to all the lomdim who've successfully studied our second parak of Abatra or our 22nd parak of Masechet Nezikin, and we will get into the very exciting and stimulating parak Chizkat HaBatim in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.